At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. The bad attitude. We are live in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Get up, stupid. Along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, the founder of the Aisle Seat Podcast, the rights holder of the Sheet of Integrity, and the Put It With the Golf Guru, Carver. Hi this afternoon. Mafia is running it with Luke Camilvada, fresh off his camping trip to the Delaware River Gap, where it was chilly at night. He could see his breath in the tent, even though he was drunk. The lineup for today, Gabe Morenci, a double shot from Vancouver, of course, in the first hour. Plus, within the walls of the first hour, Bill Michaels, the legend, from the great state of Wisconsin. We'll talk Brew Crew baseball. They're on fire! And in the final hour, the coup de grace, the Las Vegas golfer, Brady Cannon, joins me to talk about the Open Championship. I got to tell you, Mike, I thought the course was too easy on the weekend. I'm just going to say it. Saturday and Sunday, to me, was a joke. I expected, you know, a harder golf course than to see guys 17 under. That doesn't cut it for me. Obviously, the weather was a factor because there was no weather. There was no rain. There was no wind. There was nothing. It was just a dry golf course, and they were scoring in droves. They were hitting 30 and 50-foot putts left and right. You think they could have maybe put the cups in better places, more dangerous putting situations. I mean, it's a major, for God's sakes. I want to see guys struggle. I want to see scores like the U.S. Open. I'm not interested in 17 under par. To me, it was a walk in the park for Scheffler.
Yeah, look, I think the hardest part, and happy Monday here on Coast to Coast. When you don't have any weather, You don't have the Open Championship. You know, that's, you know, those links courses, Scotty, what makes them difficult is the elements. What makes them tough is when you get some rain and you get some wind and you got to hit out of that really wet, thick stuff and hit and pot. But, you know, that's what makes the Open Championship. It's its calling card. So when you get a Saturday and a Sunday, when the sun's out the entire time and there really isn't any wind, that's going to let guys like Scotty Scheffler fire at will at the greens. And just he was on fire putting. You know, it's just he's got – everyone else has no chance when the conditions are like that against him on that kind of course. Like Thursday and Friday, you had a little bit of weather. You know, you had some mitt. But Saturday and Sunday was target practice. And that's unfortunate because you want to see a little bit tougher for the Open. But now this guy –
Yeah,
he is four majors now. Three. This year.
He needs the U.S. Open.
He needs the U.S. Open for the career Grand Slam. It's his fourth major overall. He's got two Masters, now one PGA and one Open Championship. So he could get the career Grand Slam next year at the U.S. Open, which I think ends on his birthday or something at Shinnecock.
Isn't that at Shinnecock?
Yeah, Shinnecock next year for the U.S. Open.
Well, listen, the thing that stood out to me about the golf tournament was DeChambeau. The guy shot seven over on Thursday, and then on Friday, he had a 65, Saturday a 68, Sunday a 64, which was even more impressive. I think he literally had the low round of the day on Sunday. He ended up, nine under after being seven over. That is insanity. And not only that, didn't Keegan Bradley put him on the Ryder Cup team on top of it?
Yes, he's on the team. Keegan basically confirmed that after his round on Sunday that Bryson was going to be there, and he should be. He should be on the team. He's still in the top six in terms of the automatic qualifiers on points. The thing for him is, though, obviously he's not going to be playing any more events between now and the Ryder Cup where he can get more points on top of what he has. So guys could pass him. It's not going to matter. Keegan's already said that Bryson's going to be on the team at Bethpage. Bryson's pretty fired up about it. And they're going to need him, Scotty, because honestly, you look at how that's starting to build out a little bit here as we're now 2 months away from the Ryder Cup. And if I'm the U.S., I'm looking at some of their guys who are normal mainstays are – they're pretty shaky. I don't know how good you feel about having Colin Morikawa or Patrick Cantlay and some of these guys that have been on this team the last few times. I might want to go to more like this got her up and get him down who's been red hot.
How about that guy making all that money at the Scottish and at the Open? The guy made $2.6 million in 8 days.
Yep, real good couple weeks for him. You got some guys who are playing a little hotter right now. Lots of decisions. And Keegan, there really is no decision anymore. He's going to have to play. He's, without question, one of the 12 best golfers that the United States has right now. So he's going to have to be in the mix for that. I thought the Bryson was unbelievable, especially on Saturday and Sunday. It's kind of like what I said with Scott. You give a guy like him on that course, no elements, no conditions, and Bryson's going to chew it up. I bet you he wished he had that on Thursday, and maybe it would have been a little bit of a different weekend for him.
I mean, I've never seen a guy shoot seven over and then finish nine under. I've never seen that before. We thought he was going home, and he ended up making $300,000 going nine under. That is insane. That is absolutely insane. Low round on Sunday. Another guy I thought played great and no one ever talks about him anymore is Ricky Fowler. He's been finishing in the top 20 of every tournament he plays in. I think he was top 15. Am I wrong in all the majors this year?
I think it was out of the majors, maybe three out of the four. But the main thing for him, Scotty, was he's needed a little bit of a rally here over the last month and a half because he was outside the top 70 for the FedEx Cup playoffs. He was actually around 100. And all these good finishes have now gotten him into the 60s. So he's got to keep this going over the next few weeks to make sure he's playing in Nashville that first week.
What's the cutoff for that?
It's the top 70. Top 70.
He's at 65 now.
Yeah, so he needs – but he's got two more weeks. A lot of these guys now, because of how it's structured – are going to be playing in Minnesota this week and at the Wyndham, of course, in the next couple. They got, I think, two or three more tournaments, and then they get to the FedEx Cup playoffs. So big few weeks for guys like Ricky and a few others who are kind of on that number and want to make sure they don't get left out of that top 70 spot. So we got plenty of golf today to do. We got a lot of baseball as well. As we're back finally in the swing with that big weekend for some teams like the Brewers, man. They don't lose, Scotty. 10 in a row, sweeping in L.A. Unbelievable.
How bad has it been for the Dodgers? What is the number now? Like 15 of 17 they've lost? Something like that?
I'm going to give you a couple of their guys later. You would think they haven't won a game in 6 months. The way
I hope
some
they
of
don't win
sound.
Any more games.
They might not the way that they look right now. defeated the Dodgers look in the locker room after these games. So
you can forget about that over for the season total.
It's not looking very good. Will they get to 100 at this point? That 104.5, that's looking very questionable for the Dodgers to go and get there. So a lot of baseball. We've got some NBA. The summer league's over. Congrats to Charlotte. We got NFL camps basically all going to be open by the end of this week, Scotty. Everybody's going to be in-house for the NFL by the end of this week.
Yeah, very exciting. And CP3 back to the clip.
Yeah. Everybody's – what a way to finish your career, playing with Harden and all those guys, Kawhi, out with the Clippers.
And not winning a title.
Not winning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, just so we're clear, Morenci's on the road. He's in Montreal. He's going to be doing coast to coast, I think, every day. Am I wrong about that? You're going to do coast to coast. You're not going to be doing Sports Rage at night. They're going to do in-game live while you're in Montreal. Big homicide double bill Thursday and Saturday. The regeneration of the great heavy metal band and wonder of our times, Homicide, is back on stage Thursday night in Quebec, in Montreal. It's going to be a scene in a punk rock club as Morenci's going to be throwing down. The last time he played with Homicide, he had hair down to his kneecaps, and now he's going to go with a new look tonight. I hope he's not going to wear that acid trip picture behind his head in his hotel suite in Montreal.
I tell you what, we got quite a nice suite, actually, Scott. It pays off to be a Marriott Bonvoy points member. I got upgraded into a larger suite here in Montreal. But, yeah, we're fired up for the show later in the week. I'll be with you all week. I'll check in with Kurtz and Kaufman a couple of times this week in the late night hours as well. But I'll be with you all week except for the show day on Thursday, Scott. We're actually loading in at like 3, 4 in the afternoon. We found out our actual time slot now. So for those of you that are going to be coming to the show, if you're in the area, you should come. Big Metal Fest at the legendary Fofun Electric in downtown Montreal. We're the second to last band. There's like five bands. We're playing fourth. We're going to be playing it at 10:20 until 11 o'clock Eastern. So we got a 40-minute set, 10:20 to 11 Eastern, Thursday night, July 24th. Be there.
So I know you've been shopping for certain things you needed for your performance. You've been memorizing all the lyrics. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're getting closer. You know what? You know, I'm glad the show's not right now, to be honest. We've got three more rehearsals before the show on Thursday, so we went hard. My voice was shot after last night. I got off the plane, and anyone that flies knows you get dehydrated. It's not good for your voice. And the next thing you know, I'm screaming metal for 3 hours last night. But you know what? I'm a warrior, Scott. We're going to be ready. We'll make ourselves ready, and we're fired up. I'm just going to, you know, we're going to show up like Scottie Scheffler in Northern Ireland, bro. We're coming to win. We're coming to kill it.
Speaking of ready, it appears that your Dodgers are no longer ready to play baseball games. How bad has it gotten? I saw the Brewers game yesterday. There was nobody in the bleachers. I've never seen that before on a Sunday at Dodger Stadium. There was nobody there.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes there's certain sections where people aren't in the sun, but I'm not going to – you can never panic, right? Listen, Scott, they've won 58 games. I think they have the second most wins in Major League Baseball still, right? So there's ebbs and flows. We saw with the Yankees. The Dodgers are going to be judged in the big picture. Suddenly they got – you know, they're only 3.5 games up in the division right now. But normally, Scott, you know, the Dodgers can lose 4 or 5 or something, and they're pretty casual about it, and nobody panics. Clayton Kershaw is now starting to get angry. There's like guys in the room in the clubhouse that are starting to, you know, say, listen, you know, this isn't good enough. We need to be better. Even though they are in first place, they should be better. Tonight's big. This is a big series for them now. You know, as you talked about, Scott, they're like, you know, 15 and, you know, they've won like 4 games, the last 19 games or whatever, 2-8 in their last 10. It's time to like say, okay, put that behind us. Let's start winning some series and get back on track. They're minus 170 favorites tonight. Otani on the hill. He doesn't go long, and he has been lit up as well. But at minus 170, I think the Dodgers are the play tonight. And Scott, also the Blue Jays, like we know they're hot. So they, me coming on here and, you know, they're hot. I mean, that's as old as the Coldplay bit right now. But what I don't understand, Scott, is just constantly the number. They don't get respect. Gausman's a stud. They're underdogs again tonight. They're constantly underdogs or small favorites. And all they do is keep on winning.
At Toronto, 10 straight.
Yeah.
And they win every series. They just swept another one.
They're like 15-1, Scott, in the last 16. Remember, they had like a 10-game win streak going into the break. They lost once. Then they won a couple of more.
They're even now money.
Yeah, now they won again, and they're plus 100. Scott, when they came out of the break, man, you and I talked about it. Remember Verlander? You said Verlander doesn't win. He's always seven. Like, and the Blue Jays were minus 140 with Bassett on the hill, who's great at
easy
home.
Money.
And tonight you got Gausman, who's a freaking stud. I get it. The Yankees get respect, and it's revenge for the Yankees. But the way the Blue Jays are playing, how the hell do you not take them at plus 100?
They just swept the Yankees. They kicked their ass. And then I bet on them today. I bet that ticket at even money.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because everybody knows the Jays are so hot. And I think the odds makers feel like bettors. And sometimes we fall into this trap. Well, they can't win again. They can't win again. Dude, I took the Blue Jays in all three games against the San Francisco Giants just blindly. I was like, well, you know, we talked about the first game with Bassett, et cetera. But once again, Scott, the next day, it was like, you know, they're like plus 115 or something. Like, it was ridiculous. And then, again, yesterday, what were they yesterday? They were like a small favorite.
Same thing yesterday, even money.
Even money yesterday. I was on the airport putting my bet in. I was like, before I got on the plane, I'm like, oh, I just got to get this Blue Jay bet in before I get on the plane.
Do you root for them as much as you do the Dodgers since you lived there for so long?
No, but I do like them. So listen, the Dodgers are in my blood. Like, you know what I mean, I was a bigger Dodger fan. I was an Expo fan as a kid, even in Montreal. So you can't take that out of me. But I did live in Toronto for like 15 years, right? So, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not a Leaf fan. I've never been a Leaf fan. I didn't fall for it. I like to see them do well. I'm not anti-Leafs. I am a diehard Raptor fan.
Did you used to go to the Leaf games very often when you lived there? I mean, I know when you were there, it was like no big deal to you.
Yeah, well, remember, we were big shots when we were there. So I used to get like the free tickets and the suites and stuff like that. So, yeah, I used to go a couple of times a year and throw down there. I'd always bet on the visiting team and be the jerk. Yeah. Get the Rangers or whoever.
So he's in Montreal, and his show is Thursday night. You heard him 10:20, allegedly, Eastern, in this club. I want to ask him when we come back, what's it like being home? I mean, this is where he's from. He hasn't been there in a minute.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So we're talking to Morenci. I told him my son's going to London tonight. And I'm like, you know, so 34C and my daughter are at the beach for a week. And then he's going to London. I'm left with a 130-pound dog that, I mean, that's it. That's my story. I'm left with a dog. Montreal for Morenci. He flew across Canada. And the lovely Tanya was not having any of it. She said, go ahead to your rock concert, and left him. He went on his own, and he's back home again in Indiana. Of course, in Montreal, his hometown. What's it like being home? I think the first thing you said to me is that everyone there is mad. They're mean people.
Yeah, you know what? I sort of forgot. You know, I haven't lived here in a long time, and I was reminded quickly as I returned about what it's like here. But listen, Montreal is a great city. There's always something going on. You know, Montreal is a city of festivals. So you have, you know, one of the biggest jazz festivals in the world. The festival, the Jazz de Montréal, is one of the big ones. The Just for Laughs, a big time comedy festival, not quite as big as it used to be. But still a big one. And literally, like, outside my hotel, Scott, there is a it's a festival called Fantasia. And this one's been going on. I forgot about it when I saw it. I was like, man, I can't believe they still have this thing. Fantasia, it's like, you know, like Japanese action movies and film noir and horror, like underground horror movies. It's like a big right. film festival, but like not like for red carpet people. Like there's a bunch of people like Marilyn Manson t-shirts and you know what I mean? Like it's like a hardcore film festival. I know. Like, so, and hipster. So like there's all types. You know what I mean? There's all types.
So do you speak French as well since you grew up there?
Yeah, I speak French. You know, not as I speak English guy French here, but yeah, yeah. Like put it this way.
Wait. What is English guy French?
Well, there's different levels of French. So put it this way, Scott. If you're a tourist and you get into a taxi and like you don't speak French at all, the taxi driver will speak English to you, right? So let's say you try to speak French, but you don't do it very well.
Right.
They'll appreciate it, and then they'll start talking English back to you. They'll be like, all right, this guy doesn't really speak French well. My French is good enough that they don't go back to English, and it bothers me. Like, last night's a good example. I got in an Uber, and all I said is, hey, how you doing? I sat in the back, how you doing? And then the guy asked me, vous parlez français? He asked me, the driver, first thing he asked me, do I speak French?
And we,
I said, oui, je parle français. And he goes, oh, and he started talking in French to me. And normally, like, you know, we're going back and forth. So, yeah, my French was good enough that he didn't go back to English after. He just kept, like, railing in French. And he's cracking up. And I got, like, 80% of it, Scott. But he's riffing fast. Like, blah, 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 blah. And, like, he's laughing. And he just assumes, because I was thinking, well, my French is pretty good. And, like, he just assumes I know everything that he's saying here. But I used to, when I was here, Scott, I tell you what, you would like this part. Quebec is, they're really into radio here, bro, and media right. and TV here.
Yeah.
Like the Montreal Canadiens post-game show, Scott, on TV gets more viewers than the game. But like the other networks that don't have the rights, and it's like five French guys, they're flipping tables, Scott. Like if you watch it, you think they're going to fight. And like everything, it's like wrestling. Like they're yelling, and it's just the French language. It sounds angry, so everyone's right. like going off.
Did you see the article today about they raided all the NHL TV play-by-play teams, and they ranked them literally who's the best to the worst in the league?
Where did Montreal rank?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't know, but I think they were, like, I could be wrong, but I think they were like 10th.
He is French. So it's weird. Like the big broadcast here is French. Pierre Hood does a great job. That's how
I think your guys. And I think the guys in Vancouver actually did better.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Shorty. He's very good, Scott. He's very, very popular.
The number one, number four was our buddy, Joe Beninati. And number one was, just off the top of my head, the number one team was, Ken Holland or whatever, in Detroit, whoever that is that does the game.
Yeah, I would have won. Albert. Listen, New York, Albert is great.
Ken Cal, whatever. Like, they were number one.
We'll hit this later in the week. I'll look at the list. I want to see it.
Look at the list, and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so we'll talk baseball now. I actually... I watched some of those Yankee Braves games, to be honest with you. I guess maybe a little piece of all of them. And man, did I get burned on betting on that series. Like, I bet on the Braves yesterday, loss. Didn't the Yankees win Saturday and Sunday? They lost Friday night, right?
Correct. The Braves beat them up on Friday night. That was the night Albies hit a three-run homer. The Braves beat
them
up.
That was the night Fried was supposed to start. I lost that ticket.
Correct.
It went from It went from minus 110 to plus 119, and I bet it at minus 110, yeah. And they started some hack, and he got his ass beat. The game was over in the first inning.
They were losing Saturday, but then they rallied late, and Grisham hit the grand slam in the ninth
the grand
inning.
Slam.
That ended up winning them the game Saturday night. And then yesterday, a 4-2 win for the Yankees in Atlanta to take the series. They got a very early start in this one. Thanks, of course, to Aaron Judge on the YES Network.
High drive, right center field. There it goes! See ya! A home run for Judge. His 36th of the year. It's 1-0 Yanks.
Yeah, did you see the list now at 351 where he is? He's like, he's going to catch Berra and he's going to catch DiMaggio this year. He's easily hitting 10 more, and DiMaggio's 10 away from him.
Yeah, he's now tied for 6th on the all-time Yankee home run list with Alex Rodriguez. He's 7 behind Berra for 5, and he's 10 behind DiMaggio for 4. So he'll be in the top 4, like you said, by the end of the year. And then he'll just have a, you know, look, the numbers after that are pretty far out for him to reach, but...
But
you know,
but
Babe
he's
going to
be there, isn't he, there for 10 years?
Right. I mean, barring health, which, of course, you can never predict, but barring him staying healthy, I think that he should comfortably get to 2 on the entire list.
So he'd down be the second road, to Babe Ruth.
Babe had 653, I believe, was the number for Babe Ruth when he got there. So 653.
Oh, you don't think he could hit 200-some home runs in 9 years?
Mantle, 536. So he's at three. He's going to get past, as long as he stays healthy, unless something really ridiculous happens to him. He's going to hit 200 more homers. I mean, as a Yankee.
Didn't he have his toe removed last year? That's a problem.
Yeah.
Toe so jam, as we know.
He'll be 4 after this season, and he'll just be looking to chase down Gerrit Mantle, and then, you know, Ruth's 300 away. He'd have to hit another 300 homers in order to get to Ruth. That might be asking a little too much.
Thank God they only worry about this in the regular season, because we know he doesn't hit in October.
No, he does not. They also got yesterday, stunning, a decent performance from Marcus Stroman. Doesn't happen often. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, and 4 strikeouts for him. So not a bad weekend for the Yankees. Their problem is, though, Scotty, even though they won 2 out of 3 in Atlanta, they lost a game this weekend on the Jays, because the Jays don't lose, especially at home. They beat the Giants 8-6 yesterday. They swept the weekend. Addison Barger continues to stay hot on Roku.
There's bad ball hitting, and then there's what they're doing. Barger crushes one to right field. Into the second level. Man, a monstrous home run. And it's 7-2 Jays.
I watched the Jays this weekend. I got to tell you, man, they're a good baseball team, and they win. And they are just killing everybody. And they win in that ballpark like nobody's business. And I think they look really good. And I think all these teams are chasing them. They're going to lose. They're gonna win that division.
They have now passed Houston. They have the second-best record in the AL. So they would now have a bye if the playoffs started today. And they're only – how about this? Now, this, considering how well Detroit's played, Scotty – they're only a game back of Detroit in the loss column for the best record in the American League, which, as you know, would mean the best record in baseball, because the Tigers have the best record in baseball. So the Jays aren't too far behind them at 58-41.
Yeah, listen, I think I was watching Scuba last night. He's unbelievable. I think the Tigers are a really good team. They're already at 60, and I think the Jays are legit, and I don't believe – to be honest with you, that the Yankees are. I don't think they're legit. I think they're decent at best. I actually think they've regressed since they went to the World Series. Remember, they went and got their ass handed to them in that World Series. And right. I don't think they've recovered from it. They act like, you know, Boone's always talking about, you know, everything's rosy. Everything's just coming up roses. It's all wonderful. Everything smells fresh. It's a beautiful day. And we're just going to do what we do. We're going to go back to the playoffs and we're going to play for a world championship. Yeah, I'm not buying that shtick. And I haven't bought that shtick from that guy. He is a salesman of the highest order. And they love him the way he handles the media. But I don't think they're better than they were. I really don't. And like, I don't deny that Max Fried has been great. I don't deny, you know, because when they lost Cole, everyone thought the season was over. I think they're a playoff team, a wild card team at best, and I don't think they're winning anything.
I agree with that. They're not going to
win. And I wouldn't count on Stroman to save your ass. Like, Stroman in a big game, are you kidding me? He'll get lit up. I mean, yep. A game yesterday in Atlanta against that hack-ass Braves team, the first hack-ass Braves team we've seen in maybe 20 years down there. They are really average, and they're not going anywhere. They're not getting a wild card. They're not going to the playoffs. They're not doing anything. They stink. They started talking about Albies. We don't want to trade Albies. When they start talking about trading a guy, not trading a guy, they're going to, you know, they know their season's over, and they don't matter. And meanwhile, the Yankees, what, they lose 2 of 3 to them? They don't matter. And I'm telling you, he beat them. Who cares? Let's see him. You know, if he took on Detroit or Toronto or Houston right now, Stroman would give up 7 runs in the game as sure as I'm sitting here. Stroman, he sucks.
He stinks.
They act like he was Cy Young or something. Are you kidding me? I put that in there almost as a joke today.
Orioles beat the Rays 5-3 to avoid the sweep. Now, the Rays took 2 out of 3. They have 3 more home games here against the White Sox starting tonight. And then 25 out of 33 on the road. So enjoy the next few days in Tampa. Be a lot of hotels
now
for
remember,
the Tampa
Bob
Rays.
Nightingale said that they would take advantage of the month on the road. It's over a month on the road. And he said that they would take advantage of it and bond and win and be in a better place when it ends than when it starts. And I'm on the other side of the river saying, bull shack. No way do you play 35 games on the road and you're going to win all of them. It's not happening. Like, that's too long on the road. That's when you start getting in fights in the hallway in the motel with your teammates. I'm not bonding my ass. I got to look at you every morning at breakfast for 35 days. I used to do these road trips with the Thrashers after, like, you know, like a 6-game road trip. I wanted to jump off a roof of a hotel. I was like, oh, my God, these people are so boring. I need some liquor. Honestly, I'm just telling it like it is. Like, I mean, these dudes are like, I went out to strip clubs with players. They're like, where's Pharrell? He didn't make it to the team bus. I'm like, where's Pharrell? Where's Waldo? I go, I was never boring. These road trips, like, I'm like, what, we're in Miami? I know a couple of places. Let's go.
They go.
Does that make me a bad person, Carver High? Like,
no.
They frown on that stuff here.
They go Cincinnati, New York, home for 3, and then at the Angels for 3, at Seattle for 3, at Sacramento for 3, at San Francisco for 3, back home for 5, and then back to Cleveland, back to Washington, back to... They are just on the road, the home of the home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bill Michaels, as I said earlier, a legend in Wisconsin. The whole state, he owns it. He's the governor. I just wanted to mention to you that you just brought up the Super Bowl in Santa Clara at Levi's.
Yeah.
And that, it's clearly, I live there. It's clearly top 7 in traffic in the country. It's got to be that. The traffic in that city is really strange and really bad. Like, it's not like, it's not New York. It's not L.A. It's not Miami. But it's top 7. I mean, I'm going to give it a strong 6 or 7. So if you had to go from the convention center in San Francisco and they have that media night at the Levi's, if they do that drastic, that would be just drastic. Because I'm telling you, getting from that place, that city, down to that place at any hour is a nightmare. And you brought up, I'm already booking my house. And I'm like, oh, God, I just on a bus right? for 3 hours. I can see it now. I'm already angry.
Right. Oh, it's yeah, it was terrible. And the last time we were there, we stayed up in Sonoma. So when you stay on Central Time, you're a couple of hours. So instead of the show starting at 10 a.m. Central Time, it starts at 8 a.m., which means you got to get on the road at 6, which means you get up at 4. So you're leaving country. The cool thing was crossing the Golden Gate Bridge. But then when you left, you had to go over the Bay Bridge into Oakland and then around. Ah, it was a nightmare.
What a nightmare. What a nightmare that is. And listen, I got to tell you, I got to tell you, like, I used to go over that that Bay Bridge all the time, right? Like, I lived there. And I used to fly out of Oakland because I lived in Huntington Beach, and I would go home on the weekends to my crib on the ocean as opposed to living in the city in San Francisco. I love San Francisco, but I used to drive on that Bay Bridge. And look, I don't like being on bridges to begin with. And then let alone that bridge, I will never forget when people just drove right into the ocean. They just drove right in. They just drove right off the end of it into the ocean. I want no part of that bridge. Or like, I go over that. I go over to GW Bridge in Manhattan. I mean, the thing's bouncing, and then you're in your car, and the thing, and like if you're in bumper to bumper traffic, you're sitting on it, and the thing is shaking, and you're like, and it's 200 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there. I completely get it, man. You start to sweat a little bit. I remember not to get too far off topic, but the first time I was at Camp Randall when they did jump around, I was there. We're doing some stuff with CBS and Brent Musburger. They started doing jump around, and the whole stadium shakes if you've never been in it. I mean, the whole thing just rattles. And it starts to sway, and you could see the glass. He had a glass of water that had some condensation that was doing this on the desk, and he's holding on. You know, he always does the, you're looking live. I kept thinking to myself he was going to say, you're about to see my death live, you know, because he thought it was coming down. So I get it.
It's that bad. Now let's talk about your Brewers. So Friday – I bet on them at +157 Friday night and cashed that ticket. And then they proceeded to the Dodgers bled out the whole weekend. Right. I mean, they beat them all three. 10 in a row now for this team. I said last week on the show, I think they're, in my view, they're gonna beat the Cubs. I think they will catch them. And, you know, they already have. And I think at the end of the day, at the end of the road, it's going to be them in that Central. Either way, they're a playoff team, and they're dangerous. And not only that, they kicked the Dodgers' ass every single time they played them this year. They won every game.
Yeah, right. They had there's a couple of things I look at. I go back to mid-May, and they were about 6.5 games out. They were a team that was about .500. And then they had the 10th inning walk-off grand slam by Yelich. And just before that, Pat Murphy had said, we've got a lot of displaced energy. We haven't come together yet. Since then, they've been the best team in baseball. That just brought them together, just that walk-off home run. And then you have Mizorowski that comes up, this young kid, this phenom who we've been watching in the minors for the last couple of years. He comes up and he throws lights out. Remember, they paired him up against Skeens of Pittsburgh in a day game at American Family Field, and they jumped on Skeens right away, got a 4-run lead. Mizorowski never looked back. He brings the energy. Then they pair him up with Kershaw. He beats Kershaw. Then they end up beating the Dodgers and sweeping them here, and you kept thinking, well, you wonder if that momentum's going to leave come the All-Star break, because now kind of, you know, clear the slate and you start over, and they pick up where they left off. It's been amazing, an amazing run, and they're getting clutch hits and guys like Caleb Durbin and guys that, you know, Isaac Collins and Jeffrey Ortiz has been really good. And Pat Murphy said yesterday, he said, you know, a lot of the fans that don't know us can't even tell you who's on our team. But here we are. You know, now we're neck and neck with the Chicago Cubs. And the Cubs have a hell of a team. They just don't have great starting pitching, but the Brewers have great starting pitching.
So I want to ask you, Lillard came there and then left, and he's going back to Rip City. Yeah. And he also tore his Achilles, so it's going to be another year. But he's going to go back there where it all started and finish his career. What did the people think of that and him in Milwaukee?
It was something that we knew something would happen. We just weren't sure what. You thought, well, maybe if they keep Lillard by January, maybe he can come back and contribute for the second half of the season. But you also knew that there's the pressure on. Giannis wants to win and wants to win now. And there's a lot of rumors about Giannis, whether or not he will or doesn't want to leave. I'll tell you this, between you and me, and I said this on my show numerous times, he's not going anywhere. He loves Milwaukee. This is the only American city that he's known as home. They take his mom shopping in Chicago. They cater to his family. They do anything and everything he wants. He's got it like a king here. And the whole city loves him wherever he goes. I mean, they just love this guy. So he's not leaving Milwaukee. So they need to figure out a way to bring players in. And the only way they could do that was to make the Lillard move. So, you know, to put Lillard for $25 million for the next 5 years, they had to make a move. And I give John Horst credit. They've said all the time, we're going to continue to get better. We're going to continue to keep Giannis. And here's the other thing. They're building a hotel and a big entertainment complex next to the Fiserv Forum. If Giannis would leave and they go back to being nobody for a long period of time, that Fiserv Forum and all of that stuff becomes a paperweight, man. There's no way they're letting Giannis leave Milwaukee.
Real quick, less than 30 seconds. How are the Packers going into camp?
Packers are exciting, but it all hinges on Jordan Love. You and I talked down at Super Bowl. If he doesn't get better and go back to what he was in the second half of that first season under center, then all is lost. Doesn't matter the moves they made. He's got to be really good and really consistent this season. But there's a lot of Super Bowl hopes here in Green Bay.
So Bill Michaels has a gigantic house on a lake, and he only has two neighbors, and he doesn't like either one of them. Good to see you, Bill.
You the man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. We're talking baseball still.
Yeah, good weekend for the Angels to start the second half in Philadelphia. They take two out of three from the Phillies. They were able to avoid that Schwarber grand slam on Saturday to win two out of three. 8-2 on Sunday. Taylor Ward doing the damage on FanDuel Sportsnet.
Taylor Ward on ball, two strikes. And Ward sucks one toward the gap in left center field. This is deep. It's headed toward the alley as it bounces off the wall and unloads the bases. Three runs are in. Taylor Ward strikes again on the road, and it's a five-run inning for the Halos.
Well, there you go. You know, they're not a bad ball club. I mean, they've surprised me all season, to be honest with you.
They have definitely been, I guess you could say, better than usual, right?
Feisty.
I mean, considering that they're a game under 500 and it's the end of July, for them, they usually put it in the tank by June. So they've actually hung around here for a little bit. I mentioned the Schwarber granny on Saturday. Phillies want to re-sign Schwarber, ownership said this weekend. Of course, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Don't really want to let him get out and about.
Do you think he wants to go home to Cincinnati and finish his career with the Reds?
No, I think he'd rather stay in Philadelphia. I think he really likes it there. I think that's the place for him. I don't think he's going to go back to Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati
really
can afford him.
I actually think they could, and I think, you know, they would love to get their hands on him the way he hits home runs. But Philly says they're going to give him a deal, so let's see if they step up and do it.
Money usually talks when it comes down to this stuff. As much as guys say that they love it somewhere, oh, I love this place, oh, I did that, 80% of the time it's still all about the money.
You know, listen, there's one thing, money's everything. And then the other thing is I can't stand it now. It bothers me for some reason in sports when these guys leave and go somewhere else, they do these phony ass, like, you know, ads in the newspaper or billboards of thanking the, you know, city that they played in. I mean, every single guy does it. Like, when they move on, there isn't a player in sports that doesn't do the proverbial goodbye ad in the local paper. Like, it's pathetic. To me, it is. Like, it's all about money. Yeah. It's not about, oh, I loved all you people so much. Thank you for everything. I became a man here. Yeah, sure. None of these players give a rat's ass about anywhere they play. All they care about is money. Know that. Start living that way, and you'll understand things better in sports. Like, it's all about money. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Where they play, where they live, their family. My family. Money is everything. Like, it's like another one. Like, look at your boy, Von Miller. There's no reason for that guy to play football anymore. He's completely finished. He is absolutely toast, burnt toast. And what do? They'll give him a few million dollars to come back and rush on third down and never sack anybody? Who wouldn't take the money? Who wouldn't take that last paycheck if they're going to give it to you at the pro sports level? They just pay people millions now to do nothing. I mean, like, honestly, in baseball, there are, I mean, it's like 80% of the league hits 200, and they all make millions. It's amazing to me. No one can hit, but they all make millions. I was going over it today with my son, the amount of 400 guys that chased 400 in baseball, and how we were talking about this guy on the Padres. What's his name? Arise. That, you know, bottom line is he's hitting like he's literally hitting like 280. The high he's ever had is 350. And people try to compare him to Tony Gwynn. We've done this on this show before. Tony Gwynn was three hits away from batting 400. And this kid never 350 and 400. Do you know how far that is? That's like flying to London to the New York. It's so far. 350 to 400 is like, the gap of getting to 400 at 350 is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. You're either a 390 hitter or you aren't. It's simple as that. There are no George Bretts. There are no Rod Carews. And there's no Tony Gwynns anymore in baseball. That's all there is to it. Nobody can hit, but they make hundreds of millions of dollars. It's amazing to me. That is truly mind-boggling that they make all this money and none of them can hit.